Buddy, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Steve, and I am your host for this month's crime feature. We're talking about our online profiles and the information that we share on social media networks. In the studio with me again is Gordon. Welcome back, Gordon.
Thank you, Steve. Very glad to be here to continue our discussion.
Me too. I hope you had a great July 4th holiday.
Yeah, to celebrate the independence of America.
Yeah.
Well, viewers, my fiance is American, so she is very excited every 4th of July.
So you will be tied to this holiday for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
Okay, good. Welcome back, Linda.
Thank you, Steve. Hi, Gordon. Yeah, it's great to be back here with you guys.
Okay, we're talking about what we should do, what we should not do, some sensible things, hopefully some practical things, so we can be safe from hackers. Let's review this word first. It's going to be mentioned again in today's article. What is a hacker, Gordon?
So a hacker is someone who uses computers to break into computer systems, try and get personal information or companies' details or financial records online. They're people misusing the Internet.
Right. They're misusing information, and they're misusing our information. So the more information we put out there, the more we're giving hackers the chance to do things like steal our identity. And one other disturbing thing that you're probably aware of is that the technology today to steal things has really, really improved a lot. I'm thinking of picture identification. Like, we can post a picture and not tag anybody in it, but it already knows who those people are.
Mm-hmm.
Facial recognition software. So when you post a picture, sometimes it'll say, do you want to tag Jake, for mm-hmm. example? And I said, how does this computer know that that's Jake? But it does. So we have to be really, really careful. I don't want to be an alarmist again, but let's be safe. Gordon, let's pick a point from yesterday and quickly summarize that for our friends.
Certainly. One of the things that we often post online is selfies. And we did talk a little bit about the word selfie yesterday, which is a new word in the English language. Every year, dictionaries add a few new words to the English language that they recognize as being used. And selfie came in around 2005. So we're here trying to learn English, and it's good to be aware that there are new words all the time that people use and understand.
Good, good. I enjoy studying those things, too. How about you, Linda?
Well, yesterday we talked about setting our privacy settings or security settings on our social media sites. But it's good to keep in mind that once information is posted to a social networking site, it's no longer private. So even if you have high privacy settings, that information can still be leaked somehow. So if you don't want people to know something, or if you don't want to share certain private information, then just don't post it at all.
Good point. All right. Well, we're in the middle of learning about things we should never share on social media. Yesterday, we began with your phone number. Okay, that might seem obvious to some. We should never share that over our social media networks. Number two is your home address, and we're right in the middle of that, so let's pick up today's reading and talk about that a little more at the top of page 13.
A slippery slope. Additionally, home addresses are often used by financial institutions to verify your identity. And as Cohen cautioned, reverse lookup services can supply anyone with your home address with a phone number and vice versa. 3. Hashtags. Hashtags make it easy to follow a conversation on social media sites like Twitter. But be careful what you hashtag. Hackers are watching your every move. You also have to pay attention to user hashtags. Bernstein said a hacker might create a fake user profile to generate interest and followers through the use of social media postings that project popular hashtags. Once a user follows or connects with the attacker, they are now within arm's length of a dubious URL. Watering hole, attachment, and many other types of malicious payloads, he said. In other words, don't overshare and be cautious of who you engage with on social media.
Okay, thank you, Lois. Let's talk about this phrase, a slippery slope, for a moment. Gordon, please help us with this.
So a slippery slope is a bad situation or habit which, once you begin, is likely to get worse or to continue.
Okay. I think of an example, and maybe you can think of a different one as I'm speaking, about smoking, when young kids begin smoking, and how parents and teachers feel like that would be a slippery slope. That's like an entry into harder drugs later on. You know, if kids start smoking when they're young, then they're going to want to try, and they're open to doing other things that might be illegal. And so that's kind of, once you get on the slope, you start sliding and you can't get back to the top, right? You guys have any other examples?
Well, one that I just read about and has to do with sleep deprivation. Once you start lacking in sleep, but it builds up and you maybe have chronic sleep deprivation, not getting enough sleep every night, that can lead to more and more problems. So maybe, you know, you just feel tired, but then as time goes along, you start to have memory loss, and eventually, sleep deprivation can cause you to go insane. So,
whoa.
So it is a slippery slope.
That's a slope I don't want to go down.
No, you don't.
All right. Well, in today's lesson, slippery slope is referring to maybe once you start giving out a little information, you know, you get on this slide and you're going down, and it's just something you can't control. It becomes out of control. People will get more information about you, and you'll have trouble maintaining your identity. Okay, well, home addresses are often used by financial institutions to verify identities. And now there's reverse lookup services that can supply even more information about yourself. So does anyone here remember phone books?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to use them.
Yeah, they would come every year or so, and they're actual paper books, and a lot of information is in those books. And my grandmother, I don't know how she got it, but we were always fascinated by her reverse phone book. So it had all the streets listed, like alphabetically, and then it told you who lived at each house. And so if you didn't know the person, you know where the person lived, you can find out their phone number, even if you didn't know their name.
That's really fascinating. So
yeah.
Traditional phone books are listed by people's names, normally their surnames.
Yeah.
So you just say you want to find David Smith. You go to S, and then you find all the Smiths, and then you find David Smith, the one you're looking for, and then the phone number and maybe address two will be there. So what Steve's describing is a reverse one, where you're looking at the streets first. That's very interesting.
Yeah, so maybe there's a new guy that lives down the street. I don't know his name, but his dogs keep getting out and causing trouble in the neighborhood. I want to call him, but I don't know his phone number. I could go to the reverse phone book and get his information. Well, there's a lot of things like that out there in the digital world where people can get information from you or about you that you didn't think was possible. Okay, so let's move on now. Linda, please take us to the third thing we should never share on social media.
Well, it says not to create hashtags. And this is something that maybe you didn't think could be a problem, because it's just something that we use all the time, or a lot of people use it on their photos or in their posts or tweets, you know. And a hashtag is just a label that you use. And it's first of all, started with like a number sign or hash sign, and followed by keywords or phrases to categorize or to classify that picture or whatever you're talking about in your post. So it's helpful to follow a conversation or to add to a conversation that has already been started. But we have to be cautious about hashtagging, because hackers are also watching.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. I go to Disney World with my friends, and I'm taking pictures, and I want to post them, and I create a hashtag like Disney Fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I post that, and then anyone who wants to look at pictures about Disney, as they're scrolling through the accounts, they can see my picture?
Right.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all they have to do is type in Disney, and then all these hundreds of pictures will come up.
Right.
Okay. So you have to be careful about your hashtags. I never knew it. Okay. Well, they make it easy to follow a conversation, as you said, Linda, but the hackers are watching. And again, hackers are the bad people that we want to avoid. Gordon, take us into this next paragraph, please.
Yeah, so this use of hashtags gets quite confusing, because I'm sure a lot of people listening do use hashtags and probably don't want to stop. But
it's addictive.
Yeah. Well, the danger here is that hackers can, they also, as well as hacking into accounts of real people, they create a lot of fake accounts. So these are accounts that aren't real people behind them. They're there for a purpose. And if they start using the hashtags too, they join in the conversations, they join in the search. And it's from those fake accounts that they can launch attacks at real people by using the same hashtags as them.
Good point. And I think we mentioned this yesterday about people on Facebook trying to become friends with us or you or whoever, and they're not who they say they are. And so usually people like that are trying to hide something. And so got to be very, very careful.
Yeah, that's a big problem with the Internet, right? We can't really know who someone really is if we've never met them before. And using the Internet or using, online accounts, it's really easy to hide or to, create a fake identity.
That's right. That's right. Okay, we're on line 18 now. It says, once the user follows or connects with the attacker or the guy who created a fake account or the hacker, they are now within arm's length of a dubious URL. So they're getting closer and closer, and these hackers are getting more information. They're getting closer to putting that puzzle together, that puzzle of who you are and all of your information that makes you who you are. So dubious, what does that mean, please, Gordon?
A dubious is something that is not thought to be completely true or to be trusted. So we might speak about a dubious fact is a fact that we don't really believe, or that's not a true fact.
It's questionable.
Questionable,
right?
Fact.
Okay.
Yeah.
A watering hole. This was interesting. I had to really search to find out what this meant. I wasn't familiar with it, but traditionally it's a place where people gather. I mean, even before that, it was a place where animals gathered to get a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then it became a place where people would gather to get a drink, but an alcoholic drink. They call them watering holes. Let's meet at the watering hole after work. And it's a place where people come together and socialize. Here, I believe it means hackers creating a place where people come together. And the idea is, if a hacker can infect one person in that group, then he'll have access to the whole group eventually. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that sounds alarming. I haven't heard of this hacking strategy. This is something I also learned about from reading this article.
Yeah, I think it's quite similar to what you talked about yesterday, Linda. If you can get to one person, then you can get to that person's friends and circle of friends. Right.
I
think it's something similar to that.
So in this case, they might be targeting a company or an organization. And so if they get one or a few of those employees to get onto this website that they've infected, then they can use that as a means to hack into the company's system, database or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the word watering hole or the term watering hole, even in the natural world where animals gather to get water, it is also a place that predators have an opportunity to attack those animals who are drinking water at the river or where the water is.
Linda, you just made this analogy even more scary. Scarier.
So it inherently had some, you know, maybe a little bit of a negative connotation there.
Ooh, I like the danger in that. Good point. Very good point. Yes. Let's talk about malicious. There's that prefix M-A-L for mal. We've heard of malware. We see the word malicious. That means bad.
Mm-hmm.
And what's a payload?
Yeah, that's another term I think that we learned through this article. It's malicious software that results in data destruction, messages with insulting text, or fake email messages sent to a large number of people. And I personally haven't experienced this, but obviously there have been people who have.
Yes. Payload generally, or traditionally in the past, has been something like a shipment or something that's delivered on a truck, or it could be on a train, or now planes. Planes have payloads that they deliver. And so it's the idea that something is being delivered for money, for profit. And so these payloads are being sent out, but they're bad and they're malicious.
Yeah, in this case, it's your computer or your smartphone is receiving this payload, and it's malicious, so it's got bad intentions behind it.
Right. So the author says, in other words, don't overshare. I like that. Have you ever been in a conversation where somebody is telling you something, and it's like too much information,
mm-hmm.
and it's maybe too personal?
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't really need to know this. That's called oversharing. And so you can do that on the Internet, and people do that on the Internet. They share things that are just too personal, and we don't need to hear it. You need to protect yourself and put that filter on.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Once we're done considering all these things that we shouldn't put, maybe we'll have to think about what kind of things are appropriate to be put on these websites. We know we have been fairly negative in this conversation, where we're worried about some of these things, but we also know how much people love to be posting on social media and sharing pictures with their friends. So it's just a case of being careful, like how far you go with that.
Yeah, we joked yesterday about the friend that posted on my Facebook account how she wore mismatched socks, and we laughed about it, but maybe that's the safest thing you could say. Just really trivial things, posting those kinds of things might be the safest way to go.
Yeah, but there's no personal information in that. You're not going to pin someone down because they wore mismatched socks. Yeah.
Yeah. You could go out in public and try to find that person. All right. Let's go to the fourth thing we should never share on social media: where you've checked in. Let's read about this now at the top of the right-hand column on page 13.
Four, where you've checked in. Although it's fun and easy, checking into your favorite places on Foursquare, Facebook, or Twitter isn't very smart. In fact, it would be wise not to check in, as hackers will know where you are or where you aren't. This notifies hackers that you will be using your credit card in different locations, making it easier to post transactions that would otherwise be unusual, said Morgan O'Mara of Record Nations, a security company. Sharing is caring, but not everything. Over 80% of all successful data thefts that occurred last year began with a social engineering exploit of some kind, Bernstein said. To avoid social media hackers, there are simple steps you can take. Start by hardening your public presence on social media and by stripping any private information from your accounts. This should include your birthday, social security number, banking information, and some other listed items, according to Bernstein.
Hi, friends. If you're just joining us, we want to thank you again for taking time to study with us here at Advanced. We hope that your English listening and speaking skills will improve and learn something new. Again, my name is Steve, and in the studio is Gordon and Linda. We're talking about online profiles being used against people. And one thing, some things we could do to protect ourselves, the author says, is one, never give out your phone number. Number two, never give out your home address. And three, be careful about your hashtags usage. Number four is where you've checked in. And so the author warns against doing this, not just seldom, but never. Don't ever do this, right, Gordon?
Yeah, this I remember actually in the very early days of social networking and people putting posts on the internet. I remember people expressing concerns about just saying where you are at that current point. And the very simple story that is often told is you leave your house and then you go down to a restaurant and you say, I'm at this restaurant and I'm having a great time. And then someone can be like, hey, his house is empty. Let's go break into it while he's not at home.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's just a very simple example. But the idea of checking in has now become a big thing on the internet, that you can check into wherever you are to say that you're there.
Yes.
Yeah, and restaurants, hotels, they want you to do that. They encourage you to do that, and they'll give you a discount or give you something free if you show that you check into that place.
Yes, they give incentives to do that, so that makes it even harder to say no. I remember I was with my friend, and we were at a restaurant, and it had a big sign on the wall. It says, go to this website or go to this social media site, check in, and we'll give you a free plate of pork or something. Mm-hmm. I think it was a hot pot restaurant, mm-hmm. And so like, oh yeah, free food, let's do it, because it's good for their business.
Right.
It puts their name out there, and people can see the restaurant's name. But we need to be careful, because we don't know who's watching when we check in someplace.
Right. Or to get around that, I would, to get that free plate of something, like I would check in or maybe set it to a private setting so only I could see on my Facebook. So it posted to my, to my page, but I was the only person who could see it. And then I would delete it right after.
Right after she got the plate of pork, she would delete it.
Linda's free checking in tips.
Linda knows how to get around these things. I like that. Hang out with Linda.
It's trying to be safe, keep your private information private.
Good, good. Well, we don't want hackers to know where we are and where we aren't. Okay, the next paragraph opens by saying, when you do check in, it notifies hackers that you will be using your credit card in different locations. Oh, wow, this is something I never thought about. But when you check in, maybe you're using your credit card and maybe they have your information and they're kind of waiting to use it in the right way. Somehow they've hacked into your system and they know your credit card numbers already. But if they started just randomly using it, it would be very obvious that your card information was stolen. But wouldn't it be better, if you're a hacker, to be very wise in how you use it? That way you could maintain using it longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really advanced hacking. I hadn't thought of it either. Credit cards nowadays often set up with automated systems to shut down, to not allow unusual purchases based on how you tend to use them.
Exactly.
If you're checked into a restaurant, then the person who's got your details knows that you're in that part of town. So it wouldn't be an unusual purchase if they bought a computer in the electronics store two doors down from the restaurant.
Exactly.
And that your credit card might let that go through.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, this is getting complicated.
Yes, it is. These hackers are pretty smart people, but we can do things to safeguard ourselves. Let's go now to sharing is caring, but not everything. Now, I like to share this with people. I've said it already, TMI, too much information. We don't want to share too much. But there's that part of us, we feel like, oh, we want to share stuff, share our life with our friends, because that's how we care for each other. So we have to be aware of that and be careful what we do share. What does it say, Linda, in line 14?
Well, over 80% of all of successful data thefts that occurred last year began with a social engineering exploit of some kind. So it might have started maybe as an innocent post or something that we thought was innocent, but it led to much more serious consequences.
Yeah, pretty amazing how they can track that and categorize. Now they know 80% have started in this way, which is very, very high. Well, to avoid social media hackers, there are simple steps you can take, and we've just gone through four of those. Here's another thing we can do. Harden your public presence on social media. What does that mean, Gordon?
It just means that you're more careful about what you're going to put on in the public realms of the internet. You're going to be hardened there. You're not going to give out as much information. You're going to overshare a lot less.
Yeah, sharing is caring, but when you harden yourself, you're kind of hardening your heart, and you're not going to share so much.
Yeah.
For the purpose of being safe. You might want to do things like strip any private information from your accounts. Some Facebook accounts, the people, they have everything on there that they've done, where they went to elementary school and their birthdays and all kinds of information just open to the public. So if that's you, you may want to consider pulling that stuff off your page and just put the bare essentials on there. What else should we pull off if we have up there? Birthday, social security number. Of course, in the USA, we have those. What would be something equivalent in Britain for that?
Our equivalent in Britain is called the national insurance number. But we seem to use it a lot less than social security numbers, so I think people are less worried about it.
Okay. Banking information is a big one. A lot of people do their banking over the internet now, and so that information seems to be hackable much more now than before, and other items. So, yeah, maybe it's time to take stock of your social networking sites. Go up there and see what's essential and take everything else down to protect yourself. You guys have any closing comments?
Well, I mean, like you said in the beginning, we don't have to be paranoid, but we want to be smart. And excluding a lot of private information is being smart.
Yeah.
So we can share, but yeah, don't share too much.
Good.
And I feel that I know that people are still going to want to post photos and post things about themselves. So one thing that you should certainly do is think about who you have on your friendship lists on these certain social network sites. Do you know all those people? Do you still know those people? And just make sure you're sharing with the people you want to be sharing with.
Good point. All right, friends, we're done for this lesson. We hope that you join us at Advance for another lesson next time. And until then, have a great day.